But first, I'd like to go quickly to the current events. And we are talking there about the railroad strike. I talked about this last time in our news and prophecy section last service. And of course, we pointed out already then, and we are pointing it out here in this update, that the strike seemed inevitable unless there is congressional intervention. Now, that congressional intervention did take place. The House and the Senate voted bipartisanly, if you can call it that, to put an end to the strike. President Biden signed that law, and now it is definitely a quote-unquote solution in the minds of many because a strike has been averted. The idea is like this law makes it illegal for the railroads to strike. It's illegal. They were forced, they were coerced to accept this agreement which they had come up with, whether they liked it or not. Now, some didn't like it. And of course, even before he signed the document, this law, many rail work or rail workers' unions blasted President Biden, and we point this out in our update. They blasted President Biden after he pressed Congress to force the organized labor groups to accept a tentative agreement in order to start or avert a strike. Joe Biden blew it. Railroad Workers Union Treasurer Hugh Sawyer said in a press release. He went further. He said, "The Democrats and Republicans are both pawns of big business and the corporations." He is absolutely correct with that statement. Now, not everybody voted for that law because it should have some bad taste in our mouth, of course. You know, nobody wanted them to strike. But look the price they paid for that. Senator Rand Paul, for instance, didn't vote for the bill. And he gave an interview to Fox Business moderator Larry Kudlow, and he said this, "Congress should not get involved in contracts. Congress should not dictating our will. This is determined in the marketplace. The whole thing was wrong. The more Congress gets involved, the more the other side expects that to happen. Republican voters across the country are upset with the old establishment up here in Washington." Now, Kudlow totally agreed with Paul. And the following statements by Ronald Reagan about human government came to mind. Famous statements. Statements like, "Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Government does not solve problems. It subsidizes them. Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, it is an intolerable one." And he also said this, "Politics is supposed to be the second oldest profession. I have come to realize that it bears a very close resemblance to the first. And so I've sometimes have been talking about politicians as political prostitutes." Now you know why, if you didn't know it already before. I'd like to go back, though, to the war and railroad strike comments, because first we talked about war before we went into the railroad strike. And the summary of this section says, "Was it ever God's intent that humans should resort to violence and fight in war? What did the Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong teach on this issue?" Now, while I was giving these comments, and I spoke about the fact that I had given speeches in the past at Ambassador College included, including the Ambassador College, where I talked about the strong possibility that the Bible indicates that the Laodicea era, or members in the Laodicea era, will fight in war. And so I received a memo asking me the question whether I could not elaborate on what I said then and why I felt and feel that way. And I thought, well, I might as well use the opportunity now to do that for everyone to hear, not just the person who actually sent me the memo. Well, let me first of all say that we all should know that we are living in the Laodicea era. There should be no doubt about that. But that doesn't mean that everybody who is now a member of the Church of God is part of the Laodicea Church, because there are definitely remnants of the Philadelphia era, probably the Sardis era, probably the Thyatira era, still around. But we are living in the Laodicea era. That's the predominant era, so to speak. And that's the predominant spirit which we can see in the church today. Now, the Bible warns us that there's going to be a falling away from the truth. And if it's a falling away from the truth, then that would also include the falling away from the truth of knowing that we are not to fight in war. We also read that in these end times, in the Laodicea era, the love of many will grow cold. The opposite to love and peace is obviously hate and war. So if the love of many, and we're talking about the love of God, is going to go cold, then that means the idea of fighting in war and having love for war is becoming an issue. Now, in the book of James, I'd like to quickly turn there. The book of James, of course, is written, as it says very clearly at the very beginning, to the lost tribes, it says, or the 12 tribes, which are scattered abroad. But we should understand that this book, first of all, was written for us today. Even though it was written at the time, maybe even addressing the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, it is clearly addressing two church members, but it's also mainly addressing us today. It's written for our times, for the end time. The time we are living in today, which is the Laodicea era. You see, it starts by saying in chapter 1 and verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials." So this is not talking about just unconverted people. It goes on to say in verse 18, "Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now this is not talking about unconverted people. It doesn't talk about unconverted Israelites. It's talking about true Christians, the spiritual Israelites. Chapter 2, verse 1, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality." Now, nobody has a faith of Christ, except for those who are converted and have received the Holy Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment," clearly addressing the church. It's also talking about the end time. It says in chapter 5 and verse 3, "You have heaped up treasures in the last days," talking about the rich people. In verse 8, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." It says in verse 9, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." And then, of course, it also talking about healing and anointing. We read that in chapter 5 and verse 14 following. So it's not talking about unconverted people here. I'm saying this because it is important to realize what he says in chapter 4 and verse 1. "Where do wars and fights come from among you?" He's talking about church members. He's talking about wars going on in the church. It's not talking about spiritual wars here, because it goes on to say, "Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war and you do not have because you do not ask." There is a literal war described in the Laodicea era, which is still going to happen. That is why I felt very confident at the time, and more so even now after I've seen the developments which occurred in the church after Mr. Armstrong died, that members in the Church of God will pick up their weapons, their guns, and will fight. Now let me just say that this is nothing unique. The Waldenses, for instance, part of the Church of God, the Thyatira era, they were in fact peace-loving people until they were being confronted with the Catholic Church's desire to wipe them out. What did many do? They picked up the sword to defend themselves. The same is true for the Paulicians. That was the Pergamus era. They were again a peace-loving church until they decided to pick up the sword and fight. And they became known even as the warrior church. Now, when you go with me to Revelation chapter 12, we find an interesting statement. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, again talking about the Laodicea era, the Laodicea church, I should say. The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean they are keeping the law in the sense that they are doing it in their lives. They haven't. Yeah, they know about the law. They know about the Ten Commandments, but they don't really have the zeal to apply it in their lives. Not enough zeal. And when the temptation comes, notice what happens, chapter 13 and verse 7. It was granted to him, that is a beast, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. To make war. Now that's a strong statement. Why is it phrased that way? Well, the warning is here. Because if you keep reading in verse 10, Christ's warning, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with a sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The warning is clear. Don't pick up the sword and fight. Some will very clearly do that. He says, you have to have the patience. You have to have the faith. You have to have the endurance, the long-suffering, willing to suffer rather than picking up the sword and fighting in war. But the warning is clear. It's the same warning which Christ had given to Peter. Put your sword away. Whoever will take it shall perish by it. So the indication to me is very, very clear that members in the church of God will pick up their weapons, they shouldn't even have them to begin with, and fight. I already know of one organization which makes this very clear that that is what they teach. Now, you look at the Worldwide Church of God under Mr. Armstrong when he died. Well, sure enough, I mean, this has become so blatant that they are all for war. There's no doubt about that. But this is going to come, and we need to be very, very careful that we don't fall into that same trap, because it's a trap. It's a warning. I would say that a Philadelphia Christian would never do that. But as I said, we are living in the Laodicea era. And there are many Laodiceans. I would say most in the church are Laodiceans. And the warning is here. And we should heed that warning.